MPs are coming under growing pressure to publish their tax returns after David Cameron made history by revealing details of his income. Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell, Labour's leader and shadow chancellor, want to force MPs to reveal their income while serving in Parliament. But should it stop there? Should other people in public life do the same? Should civil servants, company bosses, BBC presenters have to reveal their tax returns? 0303 80 55 55. The economist Richard Murphy is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Richard.
Good morning, Stephen.
What are your thoughts around this, Richard? How far should all of this go?
Well, look, in one country in the world, Norway, everybody's tax return is on public record, and you know what, it doesn't cause any problems to anyone at all. In fact, many of our big problems, like the fact we have a gender pay gap, men being paid more than women, would be solved because companies would be too embarrassed to do it. So let's not be, you know, completely dismissive of this idea. I don't think it's going anywhere near public tax returns for everyone as yet, though. For MPs, I support the idea. We expect our MPs, oh, and also members of the House of Lords, I think they're just as important, to be open and accountable. They've chosen to be where they are. They've put themselves in this situation voluntarily. We want them to be legislating for us honestly. We want to see the influences on their behaviour. Their tax returns will help us form that judgement.
Yeah, but are they not entitled to privacy as well?
Well, I think a person's entitled to privacy. I don't dispute there's a certain degree of privacy anyone's allowed, but MPs have chosen to become public figures. In the process, you have inevitably given up some might say, a great deal of your privacy. And I think that to disclose, and let's remember, they already have to put some of this information on public record in the register of members' interests, their financial interests and concerns and their investments and where they get their income from, is important, not because we're being nosy. I don't think that's of any consequence at all, but because we want to know that they are definitely not taking money which conflicts with their duty as an MP, with their duty constituents, to their duty as ministers.
George Parker listening to this too, political editor of the Financial Times. Morning to you, George.
Morning.
Well, Cameron's really cocked up here, hasn't he? He's brought so much pressure upon himself that he didn't need to.
Well, he said, so I think it was far back to 2009, that he was prepared to publish his tax return. And obviously, given the current climate following the release of all those Panama Papers and David Cameron's appalling handling of the whole affair, I think it became inevitable that he would have to do that and make good on his promise. But I don't think Tory MPs returning to Westminster will thank him for it, because they know very well that once the Prime Minister's done it, and then the Chancellor does it, then the rest of the Cabinet does it, and before too long, every MP at Westminster will be expected to put into the public domain what they earn. And while I agree with Richard that the public expect high standards of transparency, I'm not sure it's the way to go, and I think it's something that will deter good people from coming into public life, and I think that's something we'll all live to regret.
Why would that happen, George? I'm curious. I mean, I already put my sources of income into the public domain voluntarily, so people know where my influences are. Why would it deter somebody going into public life?
Well, I'll give you a good example of it. So David Cameron published his return and over the weekend. And what did he get? He got a series of front-page headlines from mainly the right-wing press, interestingly enough,
yes,
accusing him of being a tax dodger because his mother had given him £200,000. And perfectly legitimately, he did the kind of inheritance planning that lots of middle-class families do. And he was pilloried for being a tax dodger all across the front pages. It put a spotlight on his mother. The Sunday Mirror, I think it was, did a headline which said, "Mummy gives Cameron £200,000. I don't see why that is anyone's business. He has to declare his interest in the Register of Members' Interests, as you say. I can see that there's a prurient public interest in people seeing how much people earn and how much money they might have been given by their mother or whatever else it is. But the truth is, publishing tax returns is not going to give you the kind of information you need to find out whether someone's doing anything dodgy, because presumably if they're doing something dodgy, they won't put it in their tax return.
Well, that's obviously a risk, George, but let's look at the other side of this. What Cameron did disclose, and I don't think we should focus on him alone, but I think this is important, is that he is earning, but with his wife, nearly £100,000 a year from renting a property. Now, if you are in that situation, first of all, he's in that situation because actually the state's giving him another place to live, tax-free, Downing Street. And secondly, that does make it very hard for him to relate to those people who, frankly, are not on the property ladder and who actually earn one-third of that by going out to work every day of the week, because the average wage is one third of what he and his wife earn in rental income. Now, that does give people a perspective on where he is coming from as a person and lets them better understand the choices they're going to make in the ballot box, I think.
Well, possibly. I mean, what it proves is that he's guilty of being rich, doesn't it? I'm not sure that's going to come as a huge surprise to many people in the country that David Cameron is extremely wealthy.
And once you start publishing his tax return, which he's doing voluntarily, but if you start publishing every MP's tax return, then why just stop at MPs? What about people in other areas of public life? It's what our callers are talking about already this morning. 030-30-80-55-55. Robert Newton Abbey, first call of the day. Morning, Robert.
Good morning, Stephen. You just commented earlier on there, you know, when will it all come to an end?
Yes.
I think myself, it'll come to an end whenever you publish your returns.
Oh, but it didn't take you long to turn on me.
Well, I mean, I see you sloping off there to Santa Monica on a regular basis.
Well, what's your problem with that?
And you live in a very opulent lifestyle in a well-named place called Fantasy Island. You drive a big swanky car with a half a ton of beef burger wrappings in the back of it.
Yes.
And I think you go back and forth to Santa Monica for two reasons.
It's called a holiday.
You've got a beautiful pad out there.
It's called a holiday.
You're running your lips over some busty blonde.
It's called a holiday.
Every day's a holiday when you've got money like you have.
Well, do you know what's interesting about somebody like you, all right? Since you've turned on me within, 5 seconds of the opening of the show this morning, okay? Here's what's interesting. One, I'm entitled to a holiday, and I'm not embarrassed about it, and I work 7 days a week. But two, smoke this in your pipe. I started off with nothing. The BBC didn't want me, didn't want to let me in here. My mum and dad didn't have much money. And yes, put this in a big headline. I want to earn as much money as I can. If I could earn millions, I would do it. If I could work around the clock, I would do it. If I was physically able to work 24 hours a day, I would do it. What's your problem? Do you think I'm embarrassed about it? No, I'm not. No, I am not. Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
As you can gather, you have left me speechless. I know you'd work a 2-minute silence.
Yes.
I'm not against you for earning money, nor am I jealous of you. And I started off myself penniless. I had an ass in my trousers. I didn't have a university education. I was at the School of Hard Knocks. And I'm not knocking anybody. I just think it's ludicrous that they're being forced to publish their tax returns. I wouldn't have published mine because they're not worth the paper it was written on.
Robert, thank you.
I'm not jealous of you. I'm making a comment about you. You happen to be a personality and you're up there on target.
That's fair enough.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Thank you. Good morning. Can you get a sense this morning, George Parker, of the type of show this is?
It sounds pretty feisty. Yeah. I'm glad I haven't put my tax return on show. Otherwise, I could be getting blimey.
Alex, go ahead. Yes. Go on, Richard Murphy.
I was going to say, I voluntarily publish the accounts of my business online. I don't need to publish the sources of income I have, but I choose to do so. I do comment in public. As you know, Stephen, I've been on here many times.
Yes.
And as a result, I think it's important that people know where my money comes from.
Do you?
So I say,
why? Why is it their business?
Because they need to know where my biases might be. People need to know that at some time I've had been funded by, for example, trade unions. I have occasionally been paid by different political parties to do research. I have been paid by charities to undertake research on taxation and poverty. I show that to make clear to people what biases I might bring to the comments I make.
Well, how about this for an idea? How about, George Parker, everybody's tax returns are published? What would be wrong with that? Every citizen in the UK, their tax return is published.
Well, I mean, that would be one way of doing it, as Richard was saying. That's what they do in Norway. I mean, I don't think there's much to be gained from it. I'm not sure. I mean, Richard, it'd be interesting to know whether whether publishing your tax return would reveal your sources of income. It would certainly reveal.
No, actually, let's be honest, George. Of course, it wouldn't. It would only show them my income total number.
Yeah.
It doesn't show the sources, so that's why I actually voluntarily detail the sources of income in my accounts, which I don't even need to do by law, and then make sure that they're available on public record.
Well, that's why I wonder whether actually publishing people's tax returns actually provides much in the way of transparency, whether it's for politicians or journalists or any ordinary member of the public. It gives you
it allows
people to find out how much you earn overall, and I'm not sure. I just think that this all feeds into a sort of rather ugly politics of envy.
Let's just talk about how we could do this practically. MPs don't have the same tax return as anyone else. And in fact, one of the interesting things is that actually David Cameron, first of all, has not published his tax return, and secondly, he probably has that? Because he hasn't published the special pages for MPs, which cover all the expenses that they are paid and how they expend them to make sure there's no private gain in them. No mention of that in the information that was put on public record. So we haven't got his tax return. But what I would suggest is that HM Revenue and Customs could easily adapt the MP's tax return. Add a special page, which was for publication, would be much shorter, of course, than all the data in the tax return. And I prepared thousands, or been responsible for the preparation of thousands of tax returns in my time as a chartered accountant. And that summary could go on record and could show the sources of income, and therefore could be useful.
Here's Alex in Lisburn. Go on, Alex.
Good to get the chance to speak, Stephen. I was following the whole debate, and in terms of his tax return, do we know anything about it we didn't know before? We knew Cam was wealthy. We knew his father was wealthy. We knew his father had died, and that's the reason his children would have inherited his money. Mm. What have we actually learned? What do you get when I heard Jeremy Corbyn on the other day, recently talking about, and as always, though, Cameron's biggest crime was he had a few bob. His father had a few bob. He did nothing wrong. He did nothing outside the law. What sort of message do we send? Are we sending out to people, to young people who are leaving university or leaving school? Don't make a lot of money, boys, because you really attract attention. It's the politics of envy. There's two types of people that are angry at it. The professional commentators, and we have one of them on this morning, and the people for whom to have money is a crime.
Well, the really interesting thing is, Alex, that if you look across all of the newspapers who have had on their front pages having a go at Cameron for his offshore tax dealing, if you look at how many of those newspapers have owners who are trading offshore, or the newspapers themselves are owned by offshore companies.
Stephen,
you just have to look.
Background.
All you have to do is have a look.
My father's a farmer. Now, the farm's gone now. But if you're an active farmer and you're not making a lot of money, but you have maybe a farm worth £1 million, you're not going to wait until your deathbed to hand it over to your son. You're going to do so before, when you're still fit. Ideally, 7 years before you die, to avoid inheritance tax. Yeah. Now, that's what the farming community does.
Now,
is that wrong, or is that some sort of crime?
Because some people might not understand what this 7-year rule is, right? So the 7-year rule basically is you're allowed to gift something to your children, okay?
Right.
But what happens is, if you gift it to them, if they die within 7 years of you having gifted it to them, then you are liable for inheritance tax.
Yeah, you pay a proportion of the tax. The longer the person who gave it lives into the 7-year period, the less the tax you pay.
Right.
But you mean,
so what you find is
now that's not going to be allowed. They're going to review inheritance tax. That's not to be allowed now.
So you find some parents saying, you know, they get to the stage, whatever age they're in, their late 60s, their 70s, whatever, and they've worked all their lives, and they think to themselves, well, I don't want that money to go to the government. I want it to go to my kids. Is that not how every parent would think?
Is the
first point. But secondly, and here's really interesting, I reckon it's interesting. I heard of a case, because you've got to be careful with that 7-year rule. I heard of a case recently, someone was telling me about it personally, actually, when a parent tried to do that. So basically what they did was they gave hundreds of thousands of pounds they had over to their child, okay? But what happened within the 7 years, the parent didn't die, the child died. And do you know what happened? Then the child's money went back to the parent, and the parent ended up paying tax on his own money.
So that's
a quirk in the system, but a very dangerous quirk in it. Patrick in Derry. Morning, Patrick.
Stephen, I was going to take a McGeary about your thing there.
Were you?
They're all jumping in front of me. I was going to tell you I had 100,000 signatures for you to disclose, but that's not what I'm going to say now, because I'm going to get serious.
Yes.
See them people coming on there. The first thing everybody mentions the last couple of days is Norway. No, little Norway sitting up there can be open. Everybody knows everything that's going on. No hiding place. And that's done over a period of years so the people know exactly what they're getting in their government. Now, Britain's never going to do that. But if they had started 10 years ago disclosing all that there, nothing would have come out. It would have been all above board. But you see, we've discovered how they, all the time you turn around here, remember the expenses scandal when there was one of them took 64,000, they had to give it back and all that, the MPs. But you see, that's the sort of thing it does. They'll try it. But if they're open, I used to say, if they, it's a different subject. I used to say so many long time ago about the dirt of Northern Ireland. I says, if you taught all the kids in school the coloured buns, the buns in their schools, they dump a rubbish on it, and by the time you get out on the streets when you're 13 and 14, the same buns is there, you would do it automatically. It's teaching, teaching. And they break a tradition with Britain, whereas, as you said, and I'm not going to, I was going to have a laugh at your expense and about your money, but who cares, son, you're worth it, sir.
Thank you, Patrick. Dennis in Whitehead. Morning, Dennis.
Morning, Stephen. That guy there stole my point to a certain degree, because I was going to say that they were trusted before, both the House of Lords and the Westminster boys for doing the expenses. They were trusted until that was exposed by the press. And then a number of them actually lost their seats, and a number of them went to jail. So, you know, say that it's a matter of where public money has been used, and when taxpayers, like there's no taxpayer voluntarily writes a cheque every month that's taken out of your salary. And, you know, we have a right to know that the money's being correctly used and is being audited by somebody. But after the last fiasco, I don't think they've a leg to stand on.
Okay, listen, thank you.